4 CBA Mobile. Tonight, KB4CPA.
Not at all. Enjoyed the meeting tonight. I'm glad you came.
Excuse me, good food and good to see everybody. And got to know the two guys on my right there, and especially Jim across the table there. Flew tankers in the Air Force. Well, that does not sound like a fun job, but he was 25 years old when he started doing that.
At the table from you, he's new. He was a school teacher out in Hendersonville where my kids went to school. And Mark's a big CW key guy. He collects, he's got, oh my God, a lot. I think he's had 500 keys.
Showing us pictures, and of course he usually brings some. I told him I was surprised he didn't bring some tonight, and if you go to his QRZ page, he's got a picture of every key, all 500 of them. So if you want to see, on the website there on QRZ.
Mark's house, that was quite some time ago since the last time I was there, and his collection was not that big, but it's growing, and it's kind of neat. Everybody can find some little niche in the hobby, you know. I think Mark's more into collecting the keys than any other part of it. Other people are into sideband. You got your CW guys, you know. So it's kind of neat that somebody can find their own little niche in the ham world.
I guess that's what makes it such an interesting hobby to me, because, I mean, there's so many different aspects of it. You know, if you don't like this, you're probably going to like something else. And so, and just like FT8, when I first heard about it, I was just totally turned off about it. I thought, God, that just sounds boring. and now look at me. I'm an FT8 addict. And, once the newness wears off, I'm sure I'll kind of settle down a little bit, but right now I'm just having a blast.
What happens is, then all of a sudden you'll get a 6-meter antenna up and you'll decide, well, geez, I've got DXCC on these bands. I think I'm going to try and get DXCC on 6 meters.
I'll have to go and take a look at that one and see if at Steve's next time I'm up there. I'm up there. Well, we're gonna start a project for Phil and W4NGU and get, I think it's his grandmother's car going for him. It's an old Pontiac. Oh gosh, I can't think of the year, but it's like a 68, I think. It might be older than that. Anyway, but it's been sitting for like 20 years, and you can imagine the work it's going to take to get that thing roadworthy. But if anybody can do it, I think Steve and I can. So we're gonna give it a shot.
Good luck on that. That'll be a fun project for sure. So. Well, I just about hit a possum in the road here a minute ago. It looks like it might have managed to escape, but it was close.
I'm laughing because I remember going down 80, coming up 385 from Charleston, and one night, and of course I was running, 65 miles an hour, and it was dark, and the possum was—he was right in the middle of my lane. And right as I got to him, I was up on him, a car length maybe away. He looks up, and so the last thing he saw was my front end. and I tore him all to pieces. I really felt bad, but I wasn't going to try and swerve at that speed.
I mean, I was driving down the road out in Lake Lure a couple, 3 years ago, and there was one of them big old vultures, you know, eating some roadkill. So as I'm coming up the road, I see him, and I'm looking at him, thinking to myself, yeah, well, when I get close enough, he's going to move out of the way. And I kept driving. I didn't even really slow down. Kept getting closer and closer, thinking, okay, dummy, anytime, you better move. And finally I got about 2 feet away, and the thing looked up. And by the time it was like, oh, I guess you weren't going to move.
Flat. Well, all right, well, I'm sitting in the garage here, so I'm going to bug out on you and have a safe trip back up the hill there to the North Carolina, and we'll talk to you later. 73 is there, Jim. Take care. Be careful out there. ND7J, KP4, CPA, clear after yours.
Yeah, you mean take care, Bob, but that's okay because you were talking to Jim tonight. And again, thanks for dinner. If you have any more problems with the FT8, don't hesitate to call. ND7J is mobile and listening.
Call you Jim Bob. Okay. All right, KB4 CPA, sorry about that.
Don't talk to me.
The only one. You missed your supper there. You could have had possum innards like Granny Clampett in 0TR.
To be infamous, Tom in 0TR. And I got to tell you about this sausage that I made. And I used Bernice's recipe, and I made it, and then I cooked it like she does, and then after I did that, I put it out on the smoker, and I'm going to tell you what, boy, that is about as far uptown as you can get.
Again, what you done, I turned the radio up where she can hear it, Bob.
The first one is I did it exactly the way she does. And after I took it out of that water bath to cook it in, I put it out on the smoker for about an hour and a half. And it turned out really, really good. So then I made it again. And instead of cooking it in the oven in the water bath, I just put it out on the smoker for about 4 hours till it reached about 165 inside. And took it off, let it cool, put it in the refrigerator overnight, and then went to slicing it. And I'm going to tell you what. It's just outstanding.
It's good, Bob. Just think what you could have done with that possum.
Well, possum and bring him over for you.
Attaboy. That's my friend. Bernie has a question here. Did you keep it wrapped up or did you just put it in there, Bob?
No, I put all the seasonings, I mixed it all up, and I wrapped it up, and I put it in the refrigerator overnight, and then I unwrapped it, and just put it in there, you know, without the foil.
That's what she wondered. Well, she made some pineapple zucchini bread yesterday, and we took a loaf of that over to my son-in-law's mom and dad today. He's had some health issues. And then today, she made a chef's salad for supper. But before that, she made homemade bread, and she made homemade breadsticks. And then I had about six, I guess you'd say halves, of an egg, deviled eggs. I'm trying to lose weight. Hi.
I have to try that breadstick recipe that I got from y'all. I just haven't had a chance to do it, but one day I'm going to get to that. But that sausage is just about gone. I made 4 pounds of it, and everybody, it's just gone. I got a little bit left. I took some of it to work this morning to let my partner Josh try it out, and I took about, I don't know, 30. You know, I cut them into a slice, and then I cut the slice into 4. And I took about, I don't know, 30 of those little pieces like that. And crying out loud, by the time I came back from the other room, I came in there and it was all gone.
Bernice says she'll try it tomorrow. We got a smoker now, Bob, so that sounds good to me. Well, next time you come by, remind me, and I'll give you some of the keys that we get from the kids up north. It's a 4-year-old Wisconsin sharp cheddar. Oh, boy, is that delicious with that on a club cracker. And then she put them on a plate with that sausage, and then she puts these little, what do you call them pickles, Bernice? Maybe gherkins, I think they're called, Mom. That and Michelob Light, and that's far uptown as you can get.
Person, but I do like those little gherkins, them little midget gherkins or baby gherkins. Those are really, really good. And the other thing I did with that sausage is, I don't know if you've ever heard of Kinder's seasoning. They call it Kinder's. You can get it at Walmart and whatever. I rolled it in that seasoning first, and then I put it out on the smoker, and it was really good. Of course, the way Bernice made it is also really good. I was just one day deciding, well, I'm going to try a new variation, and it turned out really, really well. I'll try and save you a piece, put it in the food saver bag, and see if I can't bring you over a piece, or maybe I'll make some more and bring it over and see what you all think.
Most willing to try it. What, Bernice? Oh, she'll trade you for some eggs, Mom. The girls have started laying again. This ends her old tear.
Hey, that'll work. I'm an egg person for sure, so I just don't want to be taking any of your food supply away, Tom. I know how you are.
Well, we got, how many's out there now? 15 girls. I took the two roosters that got in there somehow the last time. I think, I don't know how they got in there, artificial insemination or something. I don't know, but they was guaranteed to be hens. So we took the two roosters back because they just crowed and crowed and crowed and it disturbed my sleep. So we took them back up to Flat Rock to the chicken man, and he gave us two that were about a year old. And this one is black, and it's Australian, and it lays the prettiest big brown eggs you ever did lay eyes on. But the other ones are called Speckled Sussex, and she wanted to get those this time, so that's what we got. They're supposed to lay through the winter. But boy, they've sure been slow getting to it. But now, today, how many eggs did I get? How many? 11 today. I think they actually broke one out there someplace, because one of them had a little egg yolk on it I had to wash off. But they're doing good now, Mom. Well, I heard you had a nice meeting. I've not met Jim yet. I've talked to him a lot and tried to help him a little. But what a fine guy, KO4LAO. And I wish he'd stop by the house over here. He said he is. He's been doing that CW Academy.
Being very nice guy. He actually taught at the high school that my kids went at. So it was good to meet him, and he'll make a nice addition to the club if he wants to keep coming. I hope he enjoyed himself.
Like me, he hasn't been out much, Mom. He has parents that he's taken care of and tried to keep that COVID away from him, of course. I guess it's going down exponentially now. Bernice's been wanting to go up to the casino up there. And I just, you know, I'm scared to death going in there. I don't want to catch that stuff. My son-in-law's dad, he's had some bad times, and it's been a year since he had it. But they say that that's about the time that it starts coming back and getting into your lungs and stuff. And he was immune compromised anyways and never wore a mask.
You know, Matt didn't come tonight. He wasn't feeling well, and I don't think it was COVID. I'm pretty certain it wasn't. But, you know, if you don't feel good, you're not sure, you know, just stay home. And when I go into stores, I wear a mask for the most part. If I'm going into Home Depot or Lowe's, I wear a mask. sometimes I'll go into Ingles if it's 6 o'clock in the morning and they're just opening and there's only 5 people in the store. I'm a little bit less with the mask, but I generally stay away from people for the most part, unless I, you know, I'm not going to sit at a table with somebody that I don't know.
I was just seeing here right quick if I could hear this station in the Maldives. I worked him the other night, but I don't hear him tonight. Surprised I'm not hearing lightning crashes out there, Bob. That storm's supposed to be in the middle of the night tonight. Of course, the mountains are supposed to break it up, but they said there could still be quite a bit of wind and the possibility of some thunder and lightning. But usually as it comes over the mountains, this time of night, there's cooling and it kicks it in the rear. Yeah, I'm hearing him a little bit, but not very strong. I think I worked him anyways. I come down this afternoon and I talked to that old boy in Africa that I'm sure you've talked to many times. But I'd never talked to him on 15, and I was bored, and I brought up QRZ on the laptop upstairs. And there he was, ZX6CCY, Bill, over in South Africa. So I talked to him for a little while, and he made me laugh. He said, you know, Tom, he said, over here in South Africa, he says, I told him we had chickens. He has a lot of dogs on his website. And he says, over here, he says, the fowl don't last very long because of the varmints.
Well, I got people living around me, all around me, that have chickens, and they must be dumb chickens because they sit there and crow all day long. I thought they were supposed to shut up after sunrise, so they must be, I'm thinking they're south of the border chickens or something. I don't know.
But to Gabriel about that, he might know. Shoot, I talked to him very shortly the other day. He was cooking something. He come in when I was talking to, Jerry down down towards Hartwell, down that area. Well, I worked a guy I hadn't worked since 2015 this afternoon, too, on 15. And I don't usually work sideband. You know me better than that. But I worked OP2 Alpha, and his name's Ivo, and he's in Belgium. And I have a car that always... If anybody looks at cards, which is rare anymore, anybody even wants to look at a card, but you might have worked him, Bobby. He's sitting on a big old Honda Goldwing, and he's got the darndest radio set up on that Honda I believe I ever seen in my life.
Tom, give me a minute. I got a quick call here.
You go ahead, Bob. N0TR.
N0TR ND7J. That was the wife.
Uh-oh. When the War Department speaks, you have to bow down.
Yeah. She was checking on insulin for my dad, and we adjust a little bit at nighttime before he goes to bed.
Boy, they got some neat things for... I think you said you was going to get him fixed up with that one where you just reach around there and put your phone or something by your arm, and you can see what your sugar is.
You do that. He's got the Dexcom G6, it's called. We put a sensor on him. It's good for like 2 weeks. And anytime you want, he's got a little, looks like a little cell phone. You just push the button that tells you what the sugar is.
Sure, it's every morning. And she sticks her finger, but she's tough. She's got thick skin, and me, I got thin skin in my old age. Anything I bump, I bruise. I want to see if I hear India tonight. I've been doing really good, Bob. Yeah, I can hear him barely. He's on there all the time, but he wants to rag chew on CW, and I've worked him before. VU2GSM. I don't have a problem with my sugar, and I'm very, very fortunate. My dad did, and my mom did. Bernice is just kind of borderline. She don't have to take any pills or anything, but she watches it very carefully. And you know, the harder she works, and I'm serious, we watch this. Like if we're out in the garden or working with the chickens out there, that the harder she works, the lower her sugar is.
Walking and exercise, and that helps for sure. So with my dad, you know, we're doing pretty good. He keeps getting these spikes in the afternoon and evenings. So we've got an appointment with a specialist next Tuesday to have some discussions. You know, and I'll tell you, to be honest with you, my dad's 89 years old. He's got congestive heart failure, kidney failure, you know, diabetes. He's got a lot of stuff going on. The man's 89 years old. And I know, you know, we should be watching what he eats to keep the sugar under control. But, you know, the guy's 89 years old. I'm not going to deprive him of a decent meal that he enjoys rather than cottage cheese and fruit to, you know, if it was life-threatening. But if we can keep the blood sugar somewhere between 100 and 200, we're actually real happy. That's a little bit on the high side. But, you know, if it gets a little out of control, we give him a little bit less.
This is Gerald TR with ND7J. I think you're doing exactly right, Bob. And I hate to admit this, but you usually do. I don't want to give you any excuses here tonight to give me a one. But, yeah, I respect that, and I think that's right. Who cares once you get that age? Within reason, you got to watch it some. My neighbor, Bernice, used to take him over goodies all the time, and finally one day he says, Tom, just can't do it no more. And he just quit eating sweets altogether, and he lived until he was 89. I think Myrtle was, wasn't he, Bernice? Someplace up in that area. But I miss him. He taught me more than any man on this earth, I'll tell you. And he didn't even have a college degree, but boy, he was a bloody genius, I'll tell you that, Bob. A man could do anything. And was he a perfectionist? He learned me how to weld, leaning over my shoulder, listening to the arc, because he had cataracts on both eyes and couldn't see. And he said, no, Tom, that's too cold. And shouldn't I strike another arc when we building a log splitter at the time, and he was teaching me to weld, and yep, that's just right. And boy, he was right on every time, and that's the way I learned. But just things like that, that, you know, I was young when I got my first job as an electrician, and when you come out of school and you think you know everything, you don't know squat.
You know everything and you don't know squat till you're about 50, I think, but I don't know.
At least about 30, 35, and you get into the groove then, but, gosh, Bob, I'd worked on airplanes, and I'd never worked in a machine shop, let alone, I didn't hardly know what a machine shop was, and I went in there, 300,000 feet of machines. So I thought, Tom, you better get back to school. So I went back to college, and then I took electronic engineering technology by correspondence, and I really learned a lot from that. I really did. I enjoyed it, and did all my lessons, and I could have learned more, but they went deeper than I wanted to learn there at the last in the computers, but it was really enjoyable. Well, have you been getting any radio time at all, or are you just working?
In case there was somebody out there wanting to jump in. No, I've been getting radio time. I get radio time in the morning, and I am working and what have you, but I still find time. I've worked 125 or 26 countries this year, so that's not too bad. I found some time to do that.
Buddy back in Missouri that was big into ham, and unfortunately he got a divorce and his wife ripped off everything he had, but he had all kinds of satellites set up and meteor scatter and 1500 watt amps on VHF and UHF, and he was really a fine guy. I played in the Carthage band with him. I can't remember his name right now. We used to stay in touch. But he would start DXCC over every year, kind of like you're doing, and try to work it. But heck, he, like you, he winds up working them more than once in a year, I think. I haven't worked anything really exotic lately. Just a second here, Bob. I got to flip a light switch. Oh, let's see. Serbia, Honduras, Aruba, Guyana, Nigeria. Oh, I worked Swaziland again the other day. And Lithuania, Barbados, the Ivory Coast. I worked several in Africa lately. Of course, we've worked them before, but there's been quite a few there. Dave was asking me about that country in Africa that changed its name. It's a little bitty fella. Maybe you can remember it. I worked him several times last year. Bill was telling me about it. Oh, it's the something Republic of such and such now, but it didn't used to be. I was trying to remember the name of that joint, and I hadn't had time to look it up. You remember it? And that I remembered, but I don't remember what it used to be. Do you?
It used to be Swaziland, but I
look in the book here, but I find every continent but the one I'm looking for. Oh, here it is. In that area. Boy, it was a tiny one. Was it that Eritrea? Is that the one it was? Or it wasn't Djibouti, was it?
No, it was not Eritrea. It's near Lesotho. It's near Lesotho.
That, but I can't see it on the map. Getting old, Bob. The Sutu or whatever it is, a little bitty fella down there. There's Swaziland is too, I guess. Zimbabwe, Lesotho. Okay, it's down there next to South Africa. And I can't see any other countries there. Well, Swaziland's right next to it. You're right about that.
Yeah, Lesotho is above South Africa, and Swaziland's in there, and Kingdom of Eswatini, and I can't think of what it used to be called, but I know what you're talking about. But if you find an older map, it's going to be right above, near, or around Lesotho, because they used to do the expeditions. Both they do Lesotho, and then they go to the Kingdom of Eswatini. I've worked all of them. I worked Zimbabwe this year. I've worked them before, but I cannot think of the name of Eswatini, what it used to be. It's something, for some reason, I wanted to say Swaziland, but apparently that's not it.
I was going to look back here. Usually, if I get something like that, I highlight it in yellow. And there's Algeria. Let's see. Can't find it. Well, the kids took out a couple days ago, and the one's up in Michigan, and the granddaughter flew down to Detroit, and she's going to Ohio State, and they landed in, what the heck was the name of that? Wasn't Denmark, Bernice, what, Amsterdam, and then they flew on down to Frankfurt, and then they're going on down to Vienna. And luckily, Shelley speaks the language, and so does Abby, so they'll be pretty safe, I think. But you never know with that idiot Putin over there doing all that moving around.
But though we've got an idiot on one side of the country or world and an idiot on the other side, I'll just leave it at that.
I'm going to put a star on the wall for you, Bob. You hit it on the head. Oh, shoot. Well, I heard Mount Athos on the other day, and you know, I missed that a few times when I should have worked him. And back in December, he come on there for a short time, and I missed him. Ticked me off, and I thought I worked him, but it was such a mess I didn't. I'm a little behind you on countries, but not far, but I'd like to have that one. Ariel's working one time, and some, I think Bill's working. But for some reason, I got soft in the head or something, and, oh, I left myself wide open. But I worked Liberia the other day. That's kind of unusual. Mayoet Island's kind of a tiny one out there. But that one, I know I worked that. Wasn't, here's Monrovia, Liberia, but I don't think that was it.
Out there, Bob. Yep, roger, Tom. Thanks again. 73, ND7J clear.